Awesome. I asked Andy to sing that song for us and dredge it out of the archives because it sums up really what I've been asked to speak on today, and that's the fire of God. And do you know what? I've got a real sense in my heart today that God wants to do something different. Talking about the fire of God, it's different. Don't often hear much about the fire of God. And I said to Dave and Hugh, I said, it's different this morning because, you know, I feel a little hemmed in. Because normally I'm quite active. I've got lots of space to go into. But this morning, it's different. And it's like, to me, it's just a symbol. You know, God wants to do something different. God wants to do something breakthrough-ish. Joe's alluded to it. Hugh's spoken about it. I've got a real sense that today God wants to do something out of the ordinary, out of the usual, out of the normal. He wants to blow your mind. He wants to blow away your preconceived ideas and concepts of who God is, what he can do, what he can accomplish, and why he wants to accomplish it. And sometimes, more importantly, through who he wants to accomplish it. Because you know what? God wants to accomplish it through you and through me this morning. Whether you believe it or not, that is what I sense God wants to do. And William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he penned that song many, many decades ago. But the truth and the reality of what he wrote is relevant then, it's relevant now. And I've got a real sense that God wants to send his fire, his anointing, his presence upon us as his people today in a new way that causes not only us to have a nice time this morning, but like General William Booth, start a movement that transforms and challenges society and takes this country from where it is languishing into a new dimension, a new breakthrough, a new vista of what God is intending for his people to be and his church to represent here and now, not in the days ahead, beyond our lifetime, but now in our generation. Amen. You know what? Someone sent me something this morning and said, when you stand up and preach, preach as if you are prophesying things into being. And I want to begin to prophesy. Take hold of that word and say, today, Lord, send your fire. I'm prophesying that God is going to come in a new way, in a new dimension. He's going to break into your preconceived ideas, into your preconceived concepts, into your small worlds to blow them open and to destroy them so that his world can be established and you can break out of what Joe was talking about. You know, I'm not good enough. God won't use me because I've done this and this. No, God wants to break that open today and wants to bring you into a new revelation. That you are good enough, that you are chosen, that you are his child, you are his princess and his prince. Anyway, we're on a series of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says this. Because otherwise, if I'm not careful, I'm going to disappear into African mode. And we'll still be it. At 2 o'clock. chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 11, John the Baptist is speaking and he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I can't help but when I read those words, think of a very good friend of mine called Bishop Isaac Atidia in Africa. He is a man of fire. And in fact, he would storm around the stage going, fire, yeah, 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 yeah! And calling down the fire, yeah, yeah, yeah! Of God onto situations, circumstances. And he had actually got in his church a minister of fire. Any takers? You? Maybe you want to create a new role in the church, the minister of fire. And it was his responsibility in the African culture, when people got saved, go into people's homes, take all the witchcraft practices, all the juju material, all the black arts, and actually set them on fire. And as they set them on fire and physically burnt things, in the spirit, they were setting on fire the strongholds of darkness and destroying them by the presence and the power and the anointing of this fire of God. And I just go back to those days and praise the Lord for them. And, this context, this verse that John's speaking into is all around judgment. And he's confronting his listeners and saying, are you ready for the judgment of God? Are you ready for the fire that's coming that's going to separate out those who are called by his name and those who are not? This was even before Jesus had begun his ministry. He was saying, are you ready? And he was alluding to the fact that one day all of us will stand before the judgment throne of God and we will be judged. And we will be judged and we will either come through the fire of judgment into his kingdom and into his blessing and into his presence, or we will suffer under the fire of judgment and go to a lost eternity. And I believe John was alluding to that, and Jesus then picks this up and begins his ministry off the back of that, and he begins to go out and to preach and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and demonstrate the kingdom of God and the fire of God and the presence of God and the transformational work of God into the area of Galilee and Nazareth and Jerusalem. And then the church picks it up and takes it into Judea and Samaria and to us in the uttermost parts of the world as time goes by. But we're all going to stand before that judgment of God one day. And I think John was alluding here to some things. You know, he talks about, I baptize with water. Today I want to ask you the question, and we've got a baptismal service coming up. Have you been baptized in water? Because if you're going to stand, and I'm going to unpack this a little bit in a minute, but I really sense that if you're going to stand in the day of fire, whether that's the fire of the enemy bringing trouble, tribulation, difficulty, problems your way, or in the fire of God, you've got to have gone through the waters of baptism. You also, it says there, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I really sense that you've got to go through and into an experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and walk in the goodness and the ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. And then that equips you to be able to stand in the day of fire. We've got a little phrase that's come into our language. It's called the baptism of fire. And it often means that we're going through very tough times, doesn't it? We're going through difficult times. We're going through problems. We're going through those things that are above and beyond the ordinary, that are sent to really push and to try and to almost break us. And I've got a real sense that if we're going to stand in those days when the baptism of fire comes and the enemy will bring problems your way, Jesus said this in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, you will have problem, you will have difficulties. Straight. So why should you be any different? Why should I be any different? We're not. You're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have situations that you struggle with. But Jesus says, don't worry, take heart. I've overcome all those things. And when we are baptized with repentance and filled with the Holy Spirit and therefore in Christ, we too can overcome all of those things. So the fire that the enemy wants to bring, that he will bring to bring destruction, to bring fear, to tie you up in knots, to make you feel unworthy, not good enough, useless, absolutely a piece of dirt on the ground. Jesus says, that kind of fire, don't worry about it. You can come through it, you can come out of it, and you can overcome it because you're in me. Jesus also said in John 15, though, he said, don't worry. They've hated me. They're going to hate you as well. Boy, wasn't he encouraging at times? You know? Jesus, our example. Here he is. He goes, don't worry, Kelly. People are going to hate you at work. You know? Because they hated me first. But don't worry. Take heart. You know? I will bring you through. I've overcome. Their hate couldn't hold me down. Their suspicion, their negativity, their words of destruction can't hold me down because I've overcome those things. I've come above them. And in me, Kelly, you're above them too. As a follower of Christ, our baptism of fire doesn't need to be a destructive one that's fearful. It can be one that causes us to move on, because the baptism of fire that God brings into our life brings a purity, it brings a passion, and it brings a purpose. I've gone back to my days of preparing sermons and alliteration. I've got four P's today. First one is a P of God's presence. You know, the enemy will try to counterfeit things that God is doing. God's got a baptism of fire, or with fire, for each one of us if we permit it. The enemy will baptize you with fire to destroy you, but God will baptize you with fire to empower you and to take you above and beyond. But I think the prerequisite to that is John's baptism of repentance, because repentance leads us into God's presence, my first P this morning. You know, in Scripture, God's presence is often symbolized by fire. Numbers chapter 9, we see the cloud of fire over the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 3, we see Moses with the burning bush. Exodus chapter 13, we see the pillar of fire going before the people of Israel. And we can go on and on and on. Fire symbolizes the presence of God. And then Paul, I think, takes this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he says, "Do you not know that you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are now the tabernacle where God resides." If God resided with fire in the tabernacle of the Old Testament, he will reside with fire in the tabernacle of the New Testament, which is you and I. So our lives need to be hallmarked by the fire of God's presence. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Talks about the fact that, no, let me just go back a step. Talks in 1 Corinthians 3, with the temple of the Holy Spirit. What did the temple represent? It represented God's presence, and it was the place of sacrifice, where the blood of the animals was poured out so the sin of the people could be covered. We know that Jesus' blood has been poured out so that we, our sins, can be covered. That's the repentance bit, isn't it? The fire of God dwelt in the tabernacle. The fire of God needs to dwell in us. Paul picks this up in Romans 12 and says, "Do you know what? Present yourself as a living sacrifice." In the day of the temple, the sacrifice was put on the altar. It was burnt with fire. It was totally consumed. Today, as we are encouraged to present our lives as a living sacrifice, we present our lives on the altar. We sang it in that last song. For God to consume us entirely. The trouble is, somebody once said that we're living sacrifices and we keep crawling off the altar. God wants us to be there as a living sacrifice, totally given over for him to pick up, change and transform our lives. Are our lives hallmarked by sacrifice and the presence of God, or are they hallmarked by self-indulgence, non-sacrifice? It's all right for somebody else, but it's not all right for me. We need to be in God's presence if the baptism of fire is not to be a baptism of fire. For in God's presence, we begin to see things from his perspective. We'll still go through those problems. We'll still go through those difficulties. We'll still have our days of struggle, our days of torment. But when we begin to see it, not as something that the enemy is bringing against us to destroy us, but begin to see it from God's perspective. And sometimes that can be quite difficult, but as we persevere, as we give ourselves as a sacrifice and go, and say, "God, I want to keep climbing off this altar because it feels uncomfortable. I feel under pressure. I feel like I'm in the fire. I feel like I'm being consumed. I don't like it, God." As we put our wants to one side and say, "God, it doesn't matter what I want, but what you want is important. I'm going to stay here on this altar, even to the bitter end." God looks at that and he says, "Great, I'm going to bring you through that baptism of fire that the enemy meant for harm, that the enemy meant for destruction. I'm going to bring you through, and my name will be glorified, and you will see the glory of God demonstrated and the power of God demonstrated in a fresh, new, dynamic way that you've not seen before." People, stay on the altar. Stay on the altar. Yes, it might be uncomfortable. Yes, it might be difficult. But God says to you this morning, stay on the altar, because as you stay on the altar, then my power will be released. My presence will be released. My purpose will be released. And this situation that you're in, where you don't think I am a good God, will break open, will break through, and things will happen that you've never even thought about before, because I am in it for you. Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians 4. All the things Paul went through, the stonings, the shipwrecks, the hunger, the famine, the pestilence, the disease, everything Paul faced, as you read his epistles, he says this in 2 Corinthians 4. These are but light and momentary afflictions. It's because he knew that even though he's been baptized in fire, from the enemy, in terms of difficulties, problems, he had his eyes fixed on what was unseen. And he knew that whatever he was facing here on earth was irrelevant to what and who he was going to face in eternity. Let's get our eyes fixed on God. Let's get our eyes focused on him. And when we focus on him and we dwell in his presence, our fire, our difficulties become absorbed by his fire and his empowerment. God's presence moves us into God's purity, my second P. Fire purifies, it refines, it cleanses, it removes the dross and the impurities. I don't know if anyone's ever actually been to see an ironworks or a smelting works. I've had the privilege in Africa, travelling to some of the gold mines, and you can see the gold coming out of the ore, and it's all mixed up with rocks and debris and dust. And then they bang it in furnaces, and the furnace gets cranked up to an incredible heat. And as that heat works, and gold, pure gold, just comes flowing out. And all of the other stuff, the rock, the muck, the dust, the weeds, just get burnt up. In the presence of God's fire, all of that, excuse me, but all that crap in our lives gets burnt up. And the beauty and the purity of what God created you to be starts to come through, starts to flourish. It starts to be seen. Now, if you go to the gold fields, you can't see the gold. It's not like a big vein running through the rock and you go, oh, there's the gold, there's the rubbish. It's embedded, it's mixed up. But when the fire comes, the gold comes out. Let's be people who allow the fire of God to come upon our lives, because we know that from his presence, his purity flows. Titus 2 says, God is redeeming us and purifying us. The theologians call that sanctification. That whole process that we go through as believers, where we are being transformed and changed. And there's a whole raft of scriptures, but I like this one from Isaiah 6. It's part of Isaiah's vision. He sees God in his throne room. He's in God's presence, okay? He sees God. He's in the presence of God. What happens to him? An angel comes with a coal, a living coal from the altar, flies down, and he goes to Isaiah, goes to Daniel, puts it on his lips. And he goes, I am purifying your mouth. I am purifying the words that are going to come out of you. God wants to do that for you and I. He wants to purify us because we are his ambassadors. We are his representatives here on earth. He wants us to represent him in a right way. With the words we speak, the actions that we do, the motives that we've got. John Baptist puts it like this in John 3. He must increase so that I must decrease. You know, God's purity must increase, which means actually some of the stuff that I want, which isn't pure, which isn't holy, which isn't perfect, actually that's got to decrease, because that's all the dross, the rubbish, the stuff that gets in the way of allowing God to be God in my life and in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to purify us in our thinking, our motives, our actions. He wants to break old habits. I'm not good enough. That's a habit. I can't do it. That's a habit. He wants to establish new ones. He wants to work on us. Purifying of God opens our ears to God's voice. It opens our eyes to give us his vision of what he is doing. It opens our minds to give us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God and his ways. It opens our tongues to praise him and to speak his word in faith and conviction and with boldness. The purifying fire of God anoints our hands to bring blessing, to bring healing, to bring comfort, healing. But I prophesy today, if you are suffering under a sickness, if you are suffering under an illness that you cannot shake off, today begin to believe that the fire of God is going to come upon you. In fact, I'm going to say the fire of God is going to come upon you. And you are going to see something radically different. And that sickness, that infirmity that you have carried, that you have looked at and you have thought, I am stuck with this, God says no. From today, the fire of God is going to fall. He's going to break open that which has lain dormant, that which has lain stayed in terms of inability to break through in healing. God's fire is going to come upon you. It's going to come in a way you don't expect it. It's going to come in a way that you don't understand, but he's going to do it. It's going to bring healing into your life. The purifying nature of God, it brings comfort. It brings help. It equips our feet with speed and haste to bring good news to people. It equips us to go into circumstances and situations. It purifies our hearts and minds, and it sets our hearts on fire with the love of Christ. That's what the purifying fire of God can do for you today. God's presence leads into God's purity. From God's purity, it takes into God's passion. It's my third P. Leviticus chapter 9 talks there about when the altar of God was set up in the temple and the tabernacle, and God says, stand aside, I'm going to turn up. He turns up with fire. He falls on the sacrifice on the altar. He falls on that which had been prepared by the priests. The fire of God falls from heaven, and he says, that's my presence. Bang! And it erupts with fire and flame. And then God says, now maintain that fire. Do not let it go out. Do not let it stop burning. Do not set it on fire again with anything else, because that is an ungodly fire. This is a godly fire. And when we've had our hearts lit by God's presence, and we've gone into and we're going through God's purifying process, and it is a process, will not be totally pure until the day we walk into eternity and see him face to face. But it begins to set a passion in our hearts. He himself burns a passion into us. Don't let that passion go out. Our lives can be consumed with all kinds of other fires. Passions that do not come from God, that are a worldly, ungodly, unsavory passion. Let our primary passion never diminish. Let our primary passion always be for him who gave everything for us. They do say, don't they, that passions burn within you. You can burn with passion for your husband or your wife. You can burn with passion for someone of the opposite sex. You can burn with passion for sports. You can burn with passion for many, many things. These are ungodly fires. In themselves, not wrong. But if they become the primary focus, if they become everything that we're living for, that's an ungodly fire that's replaced the fire of God in your life. Brothers and sisters, today, let's get away from those ungodly passions and begin to once again see the fire and passion of God reignited in our hearts and lives. And when we see that happen, do you know what? Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Luke 24, Hugh read it earlier on. That road to Emmaus. What did the two disciples say when Jesus broke bread with them? They said, were not our hearts burning within us? Was there not a passion? Was there not a connectivity? Was there not a fire deep down in our souls as we read the scriptures, as we shared the scriptures, as we talked about the scriptures? Was there not a passion, a burning desire? And that burning desire then led them to run back to Jerusalem to say the brothers and sisters that were gathered, hiding for fear of the Jews, saying, we've seen the Lord. The Lord is alive. The God is with us. Let's get out from where we are. Let's no longer be fearful and afraid. He has risen. Let's get that passion in our hearts. Oh, I tell you what, if I was in Africa now, this place would be erupting with praise. Hallelujahs. The people would be up singing and dancing. This is the UK. So we sit there and go, It's a British spirit that needs breaking. We are a people of passion. We are a people of God's anointing. We can be passionate. We don't have to sit there, will you? Where's the saved and the redeemed? Praise the Lord. Somebody once said, well, tell your face. You know, oh, the passion of God. It's okay. It's okay. I think somebody today needs to hear, it is okay. You can be released. You can enjoy your Christian life. You can overexude with the presence of God, the passion of God. You don't have to make excuses that God is something to keep private, keep hidden away. It is okay to say, I am in love with Jesus. I don't really mind what you think because your opinion, excuse me, doesn't count. His opinion counts. He loves me. I love him and I'm passionate about him. And I'm going to tell you that I love him to the nth degree, and whatever happens, whatever outcome comes, whatever I may face, at the end of the day, I'm going to see Jesus, and he's going to look at me, and I'm going to look at him, and we're just going to say, Lord, I love you, and he's going to come back and say, yes. Amen. Do you know what? I love you. It's okay to be a passionate people. Psalm 69 said this, and Jesus fulfilled this. It says, zeal for your house consumes me. Are you consumed with zeal? Passion. Zeal's an old word. Zeal, passion. Are you consumed with zeal for the things of God, passion of God, the presence of God, the kingdom of God, the people of God? It's okay to be consumed. The fire consumes. Acts 2, the church is birthed and lit with fire. You know, in Pentecost, what do we celebrate? Pentecost, what do we recognize? Tongues of fire coming down upon the church. God lit something amongst the believers in Acts 2. And we need to keep it going. We need to keep it alive. We need to keep that passion. Romans 12, Paul says, never lack in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Don't let the things of the world dampen it down. Don't let the fire of the enemy try and misdirect you. Put it out. No, keep the fervor. Keep the spiritual passion. Keep the zeal for the things of God, no matter what. Because at the end of the day, when we stand before the judgment seat of God, he's not going to ask you how many TV programs you've watched, how many computer games you've played, how many times you've hidden away in church. He's going to say to you, so what fruit are you bringing to my kingdom? How many souls have you saved? How many people's lives have you transformed? How faithful have you been to the word that I spoke into your life? Where is the passion for Jesus? And that's what's going to be tested and tried. Let's be passionate. Paul said to Timothy, and I'm slightly taking this out of context, but it fits. Fan into flame the gift of God. On the day of Pentecost, the gift of God was the tongues of fire of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit that set the church on fire. Fan it into flame, people. Fan it. Never more so in today's society. When we look around, I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and we were going, my goodness me. If you were not a believer, there's wars, there's rumours of wars, there's pestilence, there's famine, there's people going out and committing atrocities against people. Morality has gone through the floor. there is so much negativity, so much blackness, so much darkness, so much hatred, so much rubbish that you can so easily become absorbed by that and go, oh, is it really worthwhile? Yes, it is. Because you know what? Jesus said these things will happen and then the end will come. So take heart, brothers. Lift up your eyes. Look to the sky because your Redeemer is coming. Maintain the passion for God's kingdom, the passion for God's purposes, because our Redeemer is alive and he is returning soon. Do we have a passion for God's kingdom, his house, his people, things like that? God's presence breeds God's purity that leads us to God's passion, but God's passion leads us into God's purposes. It's my fourth P. God baptizes with fire for a purpose. Yes, he will restore you to the way God intended you to be. That's connected into the very creator of everything. He connects you in. But he connects you in for a purpose. Not so that you can be blessed and you can be the redeemed and you can put your feet up. Acts chapter 2, what happens when the fire of Pentecost falls? What happens? There's an overspill. The people are out on the streets. They're preaching. They're teaching. Miracles, signs and wonders are taking place. The Bible tells us that in Jerusalem for the festival, there were people from all over the known world. I don't know how many people that were, but I suspect there were more than 10 or 12 different languages. I suspect there was probably several hundred different languages that were spoken. But the Bible says every one of them heard the gospel in their own native tongue. That means Peter didn't stand up alone and actually preach the gospel and preach the same sermon 120 times. Every person that was there was filled with the Spirit. They broke out from the upper room and they began to act and do something under the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit that caused everybody in Jerusalem to be stirred. Some to say, we don't understand this, they must be drunk. Others to say, no, they are members of God's community and God is in our midst. And Peter stands up and says, brothers and sisters, I tell you, this is what was prophesied and leads over 3,000 to the Lord. Just like that. God's presence, purity, passion, purpose. Your purpose. For greatness. Your purpose for God to use if you be in his presence, allow him to purify you, allow his passion to ignite in your heart, and then for you to go and do what he's called you to do. What he's called you to do, what he's called me to do. Each one of us have got a part to play. Each one of us have got a role. There's nobody here prophesying again. There's nobody here. You might be saying, I've got nothing. I'm telling you today, God says you have something. And I want to use it. I want to use it. The early church, they were fully absorbed and committed. And yes, it cost some of them their lives. And yes, it cost some of them their freedoms. And yes, there was a price to pay for some of them. Like I said, Jesus said, trouble you will have, but take heart, I have overcome. Interestingly enough, the two things in that verse in John spoke of, about baptism in water and baptism for repentance and baptism in the Holy Spirit, they both require full immersion. Fire and water require a full immersion of our entire humanity. When you're baptized, and we'll see this in a few weeks' time, you are put below the water so that you are completely covered and you're brought back up again, symbolizing dying to your old self, raised to life in Christ. But your whole humanity gets wet. Your whole humanity is covered in water. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just come upon your fingers. He doesn't just come upon your toes. The Holy Spirit comes upon all of you and fills you completely. When fire is set upon something, it doesn't just stay on the edges around the outside. It totally consumes it. And that's what God wants to do with your life and mine. He wants to totally consume us with his presence. So that we can be pure like him, so that we can have his passions, and we can actually do his purposes. One symbolizes being saved, the water being saved and our sins being washed away. The Spirit, the fire, symbolizes God's continued purification and empowerment of our lives. You know, I couldn't help but think when I was looking at this as well, I like a little bit of science fiction. And I was reminded of The Fantastic Four. Anybody know that film, The Fantastic Four? It's four people who go up into space. They're exposed to radiation and they come back down and they're all transformed. One becomes incredibly strong, one stretches, one can disappear. And then there's one called the Human Torch. And he can be like normal and then he'll just go flame on and his whole body encloses with flame. And he can fly! And there's a phrase in that, as they're beginning to unpack what's happened to them and the things they can't understand. And sometimes that's like us with God. Things happen, we can't understand them, we can't explain them. We've been exposed to things of God and we just know something's different and we can't quite get a grasp of what's happening. And there's a little phrase in the film where the Human Torch, he says this. He says, maybe we have given these powers for a reason. Maybe. And then they go on to fight all kinds of criminals and bad guys and all the rest of it. And do you know what? Maybe God has given you his presence, his purity, his passion for a reason. In fact, I want to change that. God has given. Not maybe. God has given. We're baptized with fire for a reason, to declare the wondrous works of God, to go above and beyond, to infiltrate the kingdom of darkness, bring the presence of light, to bring his presence in, to stand where others fall, to show an alternative to death and destruction, to bring hope, to bring peace. And you can go on and on and on with the things that God has called his people to be and to do. Let's not fear the fire of judgment, but embrace the fire of the presence of God to eternal life. Have we been baptized in water? Have we, and are we, being filled with the Holy Spirit? If we are, that transforms the judgmental baptism of fire into the sanctifying baptism with fire. God wants us to be a people who are baptized so we can recognize our sins washed away, baptized with the Holy Spirit so that we can know his presence. But he wants to baptize us with his fire so that we can know his purity, his passion, and his purpose. Didn't think so much was in Matthew 3:11, did you? Today, let's be people who go, and that's why I asked Annie to play that song. It's fire we want, for fire we plead. Send the fire. And then if you look at the words of the verses, it's to create a revolution, to bring God's kingdom in. It's to heal the sick. It's to unlock the prisoner. It's to break off chains of darkness. It's to bring people into a place of freedom. It's to transform where we are, who we rub shoulders with. But we can only do it with the God of fire. As we allow his baptism to come upon us, as we allow his presence, him alone to come into our lives, can we do these things? If we don't have God doing them, we will fail, we will fall. But God says this morning, I am here. I want to do these things. Are you a people who are willing to receive? Can we stand? Andy, can we? You know, I was thinking what Joe was saying earlier on, and I made a little note on the bottom of my notes, and I've put God is good, which leads to bring us into breakthrough, and then I've put in brackets with exclamation marks, with fire. You know, I really sense that some people's breakthrough won't actually come without the phenomenal fire anointing of God, and I'm not going to shout over you like my friend Isaac does, to break things in the darkness. But I've got a real sense that some of you won't move into understanding that God is good until you actually sense the fire of God in your life to consume that darkness that's been holding you, restricting you, and preventing you from moving on. When I began this morning, yeah, thanks, Andy. When we began this morning, you know, I said to Hugh, I don't know how to finish because I've got a real sense that God wants to do something different, something unusual, something out of the ordinary. I have no idea what. I still think he wants to do that. But I also think God wants to actually intervene in some people's lives in a special way because, yes, you can experience God's fire to transform you privately, quietly, whenever you are. But I think some of you just need somebody to stand alongside you today and say, do you know what? I'm not going to rant and rave because we don't need to. Elijah didn't when he was on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal were calling down fire on the altar, trying to prove that Baal, a piece of wood or a piece of stone, depending on which god they were worshipping, was the real god. Read scripture, it says that they shouted, they wailed, they cut themselves, they created a right storm of activity and nothing happened because they were worshipping a dead god. Then it says Elijah just comes and he quietly prays, oh Lord, show these people who is God. And fire, wham, falls from heaven. You don't need to create a lather, a frenzy, but today some of you need that fire of God to fall, to consume the blockage, the breakthrough that you need can only come through from that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But you've got to be on the altar. The fire fell on the altar, the sacrifice. Can we just go through that song quietly for us, Andy? And let's just allow the Spirit of God to move and begin to expect something new, something fresh, something different. Now, I was a bit cheeky when I was praying. I said, God, I would love to see flames of tongues of fire. I'd love to see the wind of the Spirit. But God sort of said to me, I've done those things before. I thought you wanted something different. I said, well, that'll do for a start, Lord. Just wait on his presence, because it's the presence of God that takes us into the purity. God might want to highlight some stuff in your life that's actually impure. Deal with that impurity before he can move you on. God might be highlighting that you've got some passion in your life, that's awesome, but it's misdirected. He wants us to realign that back with his passion. Maybe some of you are thinking, I'm purposeless. I'm here, I'm saved, but I've got no purpose. God wants to give you a fresh purpose today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.